Well, this morning we're gonna continue in our study of Matthew. And if before I forget, the title of the sermon today is A Godly Man versus an Ungodly Man. And I love how the Lord works because, so if you want to go ahead and turn, we're going to start Matthew chapter 14 today, and we're going to be in the first 12 verses. And when you look at this passage, you're going to say, how in the world is the death of John the Baptist and him being beheaded, how is that a Father's Day message? Are we going to be encouraged today? Where is he headed with this? But I love how the Lord works because even though we're just continuing our study of Matthew, we can still find a Father's Day message in this passage. Now, this passage today, we can identify and we can definitely challenge. All of us can be a challenge today. A godly person versus an ungodly person. So not only can the fathers pull away from this, but it is Father's Day. And so you fathers today, I really want to focus on a godly man versus an ungodly man. But it can also encourage and challenge all of us that are here today. A godly person or an ungodly person. A godly teenager or an ungodly teenager. But you just plug yourself in there. Am I godly or am I ungodly? Now, I've heard some great sermons over the years on this passage, but this week the Lord opened up a whole new perspective on this scripture for me as I was thinking about Father's Day and I was thinking about this message and how I was going to preach it and how God wanted me to deliver it. So I hope to share it with you this morning in a way that it does the same with you. And I believe this is the way that God works. So let's go, first of all, to the Word itself, and let's let God speak to us through the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 14, says this. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That's why he can do so many miracles. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother, Philip. John had been telling Herod, 'It's against the law for you to marry her.' Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the riot because of all the people believed that John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to her to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl said, 'I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray.' Then the king regretted that what he had said, but because of the vow he had made in front of all the guests, he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went away and told Jesus what happened." Let's keep going just a little bit further because I hope this will help land the plane, if you will, today. "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed him on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped off from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray that you would bless it today and that it would be real to us. And that your spirit, just like we heard the young people testify, they felt the Holy Spirit. They felt something moving in their life that was supernatural. Something that broke through the hard surface of their heart into the core of who they are and who you really want them to be and where you really want to impact in their life. It's the same with us as adults. Only our hearts are a little bit harder because we've got a little more life experience and sin and all those things built up on us. So God, we pray today that you would break through our life today, that we would become godly people. Maybe if we already are godly, that we would become more godly and more Christ-like today. Not because of what I say, Lord, but because of what your Spirit testifies. What your Spirit testifies to each one of us today after we read your word and we really speak about it and we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, this passage this morning is a portrait of the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. Again, if you are a woman here today or you're a child, whatever, just plug your situation, your gender into that and say, am I a godly woman or an ungodly woman? but especially for the Father's Day, as we look at this passage, if we were to look at it from a worldly perspective, if we were to look at it, we were to say just from a, if we were unbelievers and we're looking at this and we're reading this, it would be easily for us to perceive that the ungodly man triumphed over the godly man, right? John lost his head. He got beheaded. He was in prison for doing the will of God, and he got ultimately assassinated for it, or killed for it, crucified for it, because he lost his head. What an awful way to die. Can you imagine somebody coming in with a sword and saying, come on, it's time, we're going to cut your head off? But when we look at this from a godly perspective, we see the truth. When we look at this from a believer's point of view, we actually see the truth. And the truth is that the godly man is actually the victor in this story, and the ungodly man is not only the loser, but he is the big-time loser. He loses for all eternity. So as we go through this passage today, we're going to look at six differences that we see right here in this passage between a godly man and an ungodly man, a godly person and an ungodly person. So look back with me at verse 1 and 2 right here in Matthew 14, and we're going to look at the first difference we see. It says this: when Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. This is why he can do such miracles." So here's the first difference we see between a godly man and an ungodly man. John, his life was full of mighty works for God. And Herod's life was full of guilty conscience because of his sin and because of his evil doings. He had a guilty conscience. Now, unless I missed something in the Bible, John the Baptist wasn't really known for doing miracles. Okay, but he was known for being a mighty man of God. He spoke boldly about God and his word. Herod knew this. And that's when he heard all the things that Jesus was doing, all the miracles and all the great things that he was doing. John was already dead. He thought that Jesus had come back. His guilty conscience automatically started convincing him that Jesus was John the Baptist that had risen from the dead. Have you ever done something? Remember something as a child, or maybe some of the kids here, you're trying to hide something and you know it's going to be discovered, and you're trying so hard, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's my dad going to do to me when he finds out from that? What's my boss going to find when he finds out that I did this? Am I the only one that's ever felt that? Apparently so. Yeah, so when you feel that feeling, it's awful. Like it consumes you. David wrote about it. He said, I felt like my bones were wasting away when he was trying to hide his sin. So this is how Herod was living. He was living like paranoid, always looking over his shoulder, assuming that this evil in his past was coming back to haunt him. And really it was. This is the difference in a godly man and an ungodly man. A godly man repents of his sin and leaves it at the foot of the cross and allows God to have control over his life, to not lead him back into temptation, to help him resist temptation, while an ungodly man lives in shackles of shame. Shackles of regret, shackles of a guilty conscience, of unforgiveness, of anger. Whatever it is, you plug it in there, whatever you're dealing with. When you're living on the ungodly side of life, you're shackled. You're shackled up. Isaiah 55:7 says this: let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Now that sounds like it's getting ready to be some kind of fire and brimstone sermon, right? But listen to what Isaiah goes on to say. Let them turn to the Lord. See, there's an answer. God doesn't just tell us to turn away from our sin and do it all on your own. Become godly all by yourself. He says, let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to the Lord, for he will forgive generously. You see, a godly man lives in that peace that we heard Will Hall speak about last week, while the ungodly man is haunted by their guilty conscience. It's the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. Are y'all following with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife, Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother, Philip. John had been telling Herod, it's against the law for you to marry her. See, this is the second difference we see between a godly man and an ungodly man. John had a righteous witness. He wasn't afraid to speak the truth, while Herod was living an immoral life. An immoral life. Now, if you really want a detailed account of this event, you should go to Mark chapter 6 and look at that. Because Mark really details a couple things that Matthew left out. But Mark tells us that Herod actually liked to listen to John preach. So there's something in us, even when we're living in sin, we want to hear the truth, right? Until it really steps on our toes personally. So if I'm preaching about something that you know you're dealing with in your life, and I'm preaching something, not I'm preaching about, if it's in the Word, it's easy to say, man, that was powerful, or that moved me. But me as the pastor or another brother and sister in Christ come to you and say, brother, what you're doing, or sister, what you're doing is wrong. It's against God's will. And you need to think about that. You need to pray about that. I want to let you know this is wrong, the way that you're living. All of a sudden, we really don't like it anymore. See, Herod was a powerful, a cruel. He had this reputation of just being evil and cruel in his punishment and his judgment. And John pointed his finger right at, not in his face, but he pointed out his sin right in front of this guy that everybody else feared. You see, if a preacher does this today, if I do that today and you don't like it, you can just go down to the next street corner, to the next place, and find another church. It's no big deal. You can say, I don't like the way he preaches. That got too close to home. One of the teenagers told me this week, he said, now I'm not going to call him out, it's as far as I'm going to go. But he said, man, these devotions are getting kind of deep. I don't like that, all that emotional stuff. And I said, that's what God wants to do. He wants to get deep in our life. He don't want the surface level stuff. He wants the core of who we are. See, in John's day, when John was preaching, when he preached something that somebody didn't like, you know what they did to prophets then? They put him in prison and they cut their head off. That's what they did to him. But he still spoke the truth. He was a bold witness for God. And Mark tells us that Herod recognized this about John because John simply preached the word of God. He simply preached the word. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this to the younger minister that was coming up after him at the later part of his life in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says, preach the word of God. That's what he told him. He didn't say go to seminary. He didn't say, you know, be a great philosopher. He said, preach this. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Be prepared whether you're in prison and getting ready to be beheaded or not. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. You can go all over the place and find bad teaching. You can find all kinds of feel-good sermons, but good teaching sticks to preaching the Word of God. And that's what John the Baptist did. You see, even though Herod was known for being cruel and evil, even though Mark tells us that he was puzzled and disturbed by John's preaching, he actually liked to hear John preach because even though he was offended, he recognized the authority in which he had. He recognized the truth. And deep down, we all are searching for that truth. Until he was offended, until his sin was exposed, something changed. Because, see, Herod refused to give up that immoral life. That's really what it boils down to. He didn't want to give up that sin. He refused to become a godly man. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. It doesn't stop there. It says, instead, expose them. Bring them into the light is what he's telling us. He says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. And this is the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. We'll either go to our brother in Christ, or our son, or whoever, even our father sometimes, and we lovingly, patiently rebuke them. And we say, I want to tell you something. I need to expose something I see. But an ungodly man actually will encourage you to join in with him or her when they're doing ungodly things or those worthless, evil deeds of the darkness. John exposed it. A godly man will expose it. An ungodly man will hide it away and continue to live shackled up. Instead of taking responsibility for your sin, instead what you'll try to do if you're an ungodly man, you'll try to destroy those who do expose it because they love you. They're trying to help you and you want to destroy them because you don't want to get rid of the immorality in your life. Look with me at verse 5 as we continue. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of a riot because all the people believed John was a prophet. Thankful for my Father's Day preacher's hanky I got up here this morning. That was a little gift that Jenny gave me. Thank you. So here's the third thing that we see. The difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. John had a godly testimony, but Herod was filled with worldly fear. You see, even though Herod respected John, he liked to hear his teaching, he recognized his authority, he wanted to kill him for being one of those like rabble-rouser guys, those people who like instigate riots and stuff. He said, well, I can kill him, maybe I can use that as an excuse to get rid of him. He wanted to kill John because of his popularity, but that's the thing that kept him from killing him, because he was riddled with fear. See, he was afraid to face the truth that John was preaching. He was riddled with fear. He was afraid of what the people would do if he killed John or if he had him killed. He was afraid of Rome maybe removing him from his authority or his position that he was in if people started getting unruly under his care. But see, John simply just preached the truth. He simply lived the truth. He had nothing to fear. But Herod lived in fear. He had fear of losing his position, fear of not having what he had, fear of others, fear of the future, maybe fear of death itself. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says this. This is coming right from the Word of God. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Yet another difference that we see in this passage between a godly man versus an ungodly man. Let's keep going this morning. Let's look at verse 6 through 8. It says this, but at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to her to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. Here's the fourth thing that we see, the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man is this. John's denial of the world versus Herod's lust for worldly things and worldly pleasures. A godly man lives a life like John the Baptist, a disciplined life. A life that says, no, I'm going to take the narrow gate. I'm not going down the wide path that everybody else is traveling. I'm choosing a disciplined life. A controlled life. A godly man lives for God like John did, as a bold witness and not afraid of what people might think of him or say about him. But the ungodly man lives foolishly, just like Herod. See, this scene, I believe, shows the difference, and it shows how lustful and how worldly Herod was. He lived for fame, wealth, position, his position, his power. He lived only to satisfy those sensual pleasures of his earthly body, those stimulations of his body that he wanted satisfied. Those immediate satisfactions. Because Herod had no eternal and no godly perspective on life. That's the difference. Now, I have to stop here for just a second. And I want to focus on something. I want you to note what drinking and what lust did for Herod. Specifically, these two things. Listen to that. And this isn't a sermon against should you ever drink or should you not. I'm just talking about drinking and lust, what it did to Herod today. Number one, it did this. It led him to allow his stepdaughter to expose herself before a crowd of dirty, old, nasty men who wanted to watch a young girl dance. Drinking and lust led him to be willing to give up everything he had, even up to half of his kingdom. That's what Mark tells us. He was willing to give up everything he had to satisfy that. And ultimately, it led him to commit murder. It led him to kill somebody who didn't deserve to be killed. This is always the result of medicating their problems with drugs and alcohol, or maybe our lustful desires somehow filling them, maybe pornography, whatever it is. You always end up in the place where your bad choices keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and they keep piling on top of each other, and you get down in a deeper hole until before you know it, you're just like Herod. And you're doing things and you're allowing things to happen that you never would have let happen. You're giving up everything. Your family, your time with your family, your time with your church, the peace that God wants you to have, all because you want that immediate satisfaction. You end up in a place where your bad choices keep getting worse and worse, and the consequences keep getting more and more. Proverbs 23:31-33 says this: "Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations, and you will say crazy things." See, this is the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. Look at verse 9 through 11 as we continue. Matthew goes on to say this: "Then the king regretted what he had said." You see what follows the lust? Do you see what follows the drunkenness? "The king regretted what he had said. But because of the vow he had made in front of his guests," he's trying to please these people, "he issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother." Here's the fifth thing that we see, the fifth difference we see between a godly man and an ungodly man. John had a godly fate. He had a godly eternity, while Herod had nothing but pride and weakness. He might have looked powerful while he was sitting in his ruling and up on his throne. He might have looked good to everybody else, but in all actuality, he was just prideful and he was weak and insecure. John was God's servant. He allowed God to be the Lord over his life. I mean, to have control over his life. John knew what it meant to seek first the kingdom of God and let all these other things be added unto me. He was in God's hands and he had peace. You see, a real Christian looks at John's death and we really look at that and we say, well, it's God's will for him. That's God wanted to use that, and God allowed that to happen. It was time for John to be called home to be with the Lord. His work was done here on earth. But to the world, to the ungodly, John's death was terrible. It was untimely. It was wasteful. But if the world, if this short life was all we had hope in, it would be easy for us to look at it that way. The world would be right. If that's all that we had to hope for, we would say, goodness gracious, what a tragic story. And why would that be recorded in the Bible? Why would God let such things happen? But see, his death fit perfectly into the eternal purpose of God. But to the ungodly, they just live for the world and its shallow rewards. Dwayne talked to the boys in the morning in our cabin about choosing the greater reward. See, sometimes the rewards that we see here on earth, they look enticing and we want to grab after those. We look for the bigger reward, maybe the one with the highest number on it. But when we really get down to the core of it, God has a greater reward for us. It may not always look the same as a great reward here on earth. Herod regretted making the vow that he had made. But being sorry for his sin wasn't enough. There's somebody here today that feels sorry for the sin that they've done. But see, what John the Baptist was actually preaching, what did he always say to people? What did he always preach? Repent, because the kingdom of God is near. He said, repent of your sin and turn to God. There must be repentance. That means, Dwayne told the teenage boys this week, it's like going down the highway and you make a U-turn. You take it and you say, no, I'm not going this way anymore. I'm making a U-turn and I'm going the other way. You see, if Herod had just repented, if he just repented, he could have saved John's life. All that regret would have been gone. But instead of doing that, he made this vow in front of his guests, and he was worried about what they would think of him going back on his word. And he already had the reputation of being a hard nose. People feared him. What would that do to his reputation? And the people wouldn't fear him anymore. So instead of repenting and canceling the orders to have John killed, he sat back in his drunkenness at a party, sitting up on his throne, sitting there, not in his right mind, just like Proverbs said. He was seeing hallucinations. He was feeling good. He was loosened up. He was drunk, watching lustfully while his stepdaughter danced for him. Do you see how sick and twisted and evil the world is and the devil is? And all he had to show for it was a headache the next morning and more regret, while John gained eternity with God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18 says this: "Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." That's what John the Baptist experienced. That's what a godly man experiences. He went on to say, all glory to God forever and ever. Amen. It's the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man today. As we close, let's look at verse 12 and we'll wrap it up. Later, John's disciple, let's go all the way to 14. We'll go 12 to 14. It says, later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed, and they followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped off from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. See, here's the sixth reason, the final thing that we see in this passage. There may be more, but this is what I saw this week and what jumped out at me. Of the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. John had joy, and Herod had doom. That was a complete difference. John had joy in his heart, knowing that he was doing God's will, and Herod had doom and regret and shame and all those things. Now, there's two things that jumped out about me in these last couple of verses. And the first thing is this. Did you notice what verse 12 says? Go back and look at verse 12 just for a second. Matthew says this right here at the beginning. He says, later John's disciples came for his body. They didn't come for John. They came for his body and buried it. You see, the disciples didn't come for their friend, didn't come for their teacher. They came for his body. Have you ever been to a funeral of an unbeliever? Has anybody ever been to a funeral of an unbeliever? It's full of sorrow, black clothing. It's all dramatic and extreme mourning. There's no hope. It's doom and gloom. And you want to know why? It's because they have no eternal hope. They're burying their loved one that day. They're burying their mother or their father or their brother or their sister or their child. They have no hope. But if you go to a funeral of a believer, like I got to be a part of yesterday, yes, there'll be sorrow. Yes, they'll be crying. Yes, they will be mourning. They'll be crying, but there will also be a spirit of peace in the room. There will also be a spirit of celebration. See, John's disciples were no doubt upset. They were no doubt sad, but they didn't bury John that day. They buried his body, and they knew that his spirit was with the Lord. Now, the second thing we need to notice about this as we close is this. Jesus got alone. And when he got the news of it, he got alone. And according to his track record of getting alone, what did Jesus normally do every time he withdrew from the crowd or his disciples and he got alone? He prayed, right? I believe without a doubt that Jesus got alone to pray. And I believe that he got alone to draw close to his heavenly Father, to his good, good Father. He got alone to focus his attention on the goodness of God and maybe praise his heavenly Father. And what happened to Jesus when he got alone with his heavenly Father? Is what will happen to you, to a godly man. When we do the same, we follow his example. You will receive encouragement. You will receive power and strength to resist the temptations to live an ungodly life. Maybe to keep going. You'll receive a stirring to keep serving the Lord, no matter whether you're in the valley or on the mountaintop, no matter what life throws at you or what people say about you. It's what happened to Jesus. Look at what it says. It stirred him into action. He had even more compassion for the people. Again, it's the difference between a godly man and an ungodly man. So which one can you honestly relate to the most today? Which one can you honestly relate to? Not the which one you can pretend to be the best. That's not what we're talking about. The surface level. Down in your heart, in the times where nobody else is around, when you're not at church, you're not in front of everybody. Which one does God see you as this morning? Are you a godly person? Or are you an ungodly person? Are you a godly man or are you an ungodly man? If the answer is ungodly, just learn from Herod and his mistakes. See, we can learn from even those who do wrong. Repent. 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 Instead of living for yourself and your selfish desires, repent and live for Christ. That's what the Word told us. Turn to God. He'll have mercy on you. Repent and live for Christ. Repent and experience joy. Repent and live in peace. Repent and experience life and life more abundant. That's what God wants to give you today. And what I've learned is I can't be a good father I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good father to my children. You can't be a good mother to your children and a good wife to your husband. You can't be a good friend to your other teenage friends until you're a godly person. Until you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things aren't going to be added unto you. It's got to come first. If God is calling you today to become a godly man, maybe a godly woman, maybe a godly child, today is the day of salvation, says the Lord. Come as we sing.